News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
Now, the other issue, of course, of the day is the 30,000 people who will have their AstraZeneca vaccination appointments cancelled this week as a result of the clinical pause in its rollout earlier on. We spoke to Paul Moyna, Professor of Immunology, about his reaction to the suspension and the risk posed by the AstraZeneca pause to public confidence in the vaccine rollout.
It may create some doubt, some fear amongst individuals with respect to using this vaccine. And sometimes if doubt is created, it can be difficult to re-establish that confidence. So I think there are issues that we need to be aware of when we make decisions like this. So far, there's been 11 million people in the UK vaccinated with the AstraZeneca vaccine, and there's been no safety signal has arisen at this time. Also, 5 million people in the EU have been vaccinated with this vaccine. In the last week, there have been some cases in Denmark, for example, where blood clotting conditions have been highlighted. But again, to my knowledge, this has been investigated by the European Medicines Agency. And again, this doesn't seem to be caused by the vaccine. It is a judgment call. The judgment has been made to suspend use of it. I would certainly hope that suspension will be lifted very quickly, hopefully in the next number of days.
For more on this, we're joined now by Dr. Colm Henry, Chief Clinical Officer with the HSC. Good morning, Colm. Obviously, a huge setback for our vaccine rollout, but is this overly cautious? The data from the UK, as you heard mentioned there by Paul Moyna, and from the EU and worldwide, have not shown any real issue with blood clots. So four blood clots in Norway that we don't know have necessarily anything to do with the vaccine stopping its rollout here. Is this an overreaction?
I think when you look at a vaccine programme, if you look at the core aims of a vaccine programme, the first is to reduce illness, hospitalisation, death in vulnerable groups. And the second, of course, is what we all want to see, is to get a vaccine out to the great majority of the population so we reach this goal of herd immunity. But to do that, we have to retain confidence in the vaccine programme. And I think given the nature of these conditions, a small number, yes, in younger people, but rare clotting conditions, there may well be no association, no cause and effect proven with the vaccine, but I think it was a prudent and a correct thing to do to pause temporarily, as other countries have done. I see Holland announced last night a similar move, a pause. This doesn't mean that the vaccine is no longer considered safe. It means they're allowing the European Medicines Agency to take time this week to assess the evidence and see if there's any risk of these rare clotting events in vaccinated people against the general population.
And I know what you're saying about the importance of confidence in vaccines, and I would agree with you, but are you not concerned that the confidence in the vaccine will be undermined by this decision, that perhaps we might be able to say, oh, our confidence in our checks and balances system is working, but it is doubtless that there will be some people who are already vaccine hesitant or anti-vax who will leap on this and say none of these vaccines are safe, and in fact there will be people now who may refuse their second jab should they get one, should it be back being clinically rolled out again?
Of course there will be people who maybe at this point in time will their confidence will be rattled. But let me say that I expect that if the European Medicines Agency carries out a thorough review, which it will this week, and if they come up with an assessment saying that they don't see any association between these rare clotting events and the vaccine, which may well be the case. I note our own HPRA have said that there's no indication the vaccine caused the conditions, but they also noted the importance of a robust investigation so as to assure the public. When we come out of this, people will be, I hope, assured that we can stop whenever there's a signal such as this with a new vaccine programme, assess, pause, and then move on once we have a more robust evidence. And that's all that's happening here.
Okay. You mentioned that some people may, be paused or hesitant about the second jab now going forward. If you've had your first jab of AstraZeneca and you don't want the second jab now, what is the course for those people? They can't simply get an mRNA jab. So are they just not going to be able to complete their vaccination? Do we know what will happen?
Well, first of all, the gap between the first and second dose that was that was opted by this country was a 12-week gap. And that was based on the very strong evidence that there was a much more enhanced immune response with the delayed second dose. I know it seems counterintuitive, but that's what the immunologists tell us, and that's what the research shows us. So we left a 12-week gap. So for those people who received the first dose of the AstraZeneca vaccine, it'll be some time before they were due the second dose. What we do know is that according to the trials and the way this vaccine is licensed, people should undergo the complete course in order to have immunity that's more sustained than just from one dose alone. However, we also know from the evidence that's now increasing, coming especially from Scotland and England, that there is protection even after the first dose, particularly reduced hospitalizations and serious illness, including among older people.
Okay. 30,000 people going to have their appointments postponed this week. How much will this set us back by in terms of our vaccine rollout? What kind of a delay are we looking at now to achieve targets that we might have been hoping to achieve, I suppose, by the end of March or by the end of April?
Well, this is a pause for sure, and it means that for those people who are due to have their vaccines this week in one or two groups, it means they won't be getting the vaccine this week. And it's a disappointment to them, and it's a setback to the programme. But the programme isn't just about numbers and targets. It's about the rollout of a safe, effective vaccine. And to do that, to re-emphasise, Ciara, we must assure people that we're able to sit up, take notice, and pause if necessary if there's a safety signal such as this, such as other countries are doing. This does not mean we're stopping the vaccine. It doesn't
not
mean that we're switching
tack. Not all other countries, in fairness.
That's true. Not all other countries, but our own country, and nor would I claim all other countries are doing it. But countries have reacted in a different way. And as I said, in our own country, we decided based on the rarity of this condition and the age group and the profile that it was prudent to pause for a few days to allow the EMA carry out its assessment.
Can I ask you that this is the second time NIAC have made a supremely cautious, some might say, move, possibly some might say overly cautious move about particularly the AstraZeneca vaccine. Is fear of litigation behind some of this for the state? Is that what's driving us to make the most cautious of moves at every turn with regard to this vaccine as compared to other countries?
Well, all I can say from the people I've spoken to on NIAC and otherwise, I've never heard that mentioned or cited, either at a meeting or in corridors or whatever. The sole motivation of the people, Karina Butler and her team, from my engagement with them, which is frequent, is to get the vaccine out safely and effectively to as many people as possible.
All right. And last question for you, Colm. I know that we have heard a lot about protests being called for this week. Some are the Reclaim the Streets protests, some are anti-lockdown protests, several protests being called for this week. What would you like to say to people out there who might be thinking of attending a mass gathering somewhere during the middle of the crisis we're currently going to?
Briefly, I understand people's frustration. It's been a really tough year, and the vaccines do offer huge hope and still offer huge hope. And I really believe that we're going to see great improvements this year, as we're seeing in Israel as a result of the vaccine. When I say to people who are thinking of coming together, please remember, the virus has not gone away. We're still seeing, as your correspondent said earlier, upwards of 500 cases a year. We're still seeing cases come into hospital, 20 or 30 admissions a day, and we're still seeing people admitted to ITU. It has not gone away.
All right. Look, thank you for speaking to us this morning. That is Dr. Colm Henry, their Chief Clinical Officer with the HSE.